Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel, myself, Blair Phillips, will be co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one who proclaimed blessedness of his martyrs and the reward of their works. And so we're in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, which reads, so it says, I, John, heard the voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works may follow them. And so, Brother Daniel, this revelation of Jesus focuses on his martyrs and the blessing that he gives to them. But also we have this powerful moment where the Holy Spirit is coming in and confirming it. And so it's really two members of the Trinity, but we're focusing in on Jesus. But share with us more about what you wrote in your devotional regarding this revelation.
But hard for us right now to grapple with the context of this description that say Jesus is the one who proclaimed blessedness. How can he be blessed when someone pass away, someone forsake their life? It's impossible for us to have that paradigm unless we have a clear understanding and conviction that life is not merely 70, 80, or 100 years on the earth, and it's not material life alone, but that our life is a life everlasting in Christ. In fact, there's greater blessedness in afterlife. Now, when I say this, I have to be very careful because there are some other religion that teaches martyrdom as the pathway to salvation and eternal paradise. And so that create a very nihilistic kind of thinking where people would want to die in order to escape suffering of this world, especially when their physical condition and their environment is unbearable. They would want to escape to go to the afterlife in order to enjoy the eternal paradise. Now, in the biblical worldview, especially in the revelation of Jesus, that is not so. In fact, the truth in the scripture is so far from that reality of escapism. Let's examine a few words here. Number one, Jesus proclaimed blessedness. Mm-hmm. He said, blessed are his martyrs. These are not just people who die, but people who die that belongs to him. In other words, people who have entered into eternal covenant with him, who have a born again life in the spirit, where in John 4 it says, John 7, out of your belly will flow a river of living water springing up into everlasting life. So these are the people, because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit and their spiritual regeneration, are already secure in having an eternal covenant of love with Jesus. And secondly, these people are active, faithful witnesses. The word martyrs in English come from the word martyria in Greek, that simply means blood witness, somebody who is willing to stand on the witnessing of the fact and the truth to the point where the person is willing to lay down his life for that truth. And so a blood witness is someone who is willing to shed blood for the sake of bearing witness to that truth. And the third reality, which is very important here, is the context at that time. Truly, the persecution and the oppression upon the people of faith in Christ is so strong, whether Jews or Gentiles, that it's actually more blessed for them to finish their race on the earth and then be joined with the Lord in eternity. But at the same time, we need to adopt the paradigm of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Church of Philippi, when he said, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Mm-hmm. He says that he was wrestling about whether to stay or to go, but in front of him was that vision of the immortal resurrected body that one day he will put on. He knows that whether he stays now a little longer or he goes, one day the conclusion in Christ is the same. He will put on another immortal body when the sound of the last trumpet is sounded. He will be alive again and with that immortal body. Until then, which path he goes are beneficial to him because he's secure in Christ. But he said he chooses to stay. He seems to prefer to stay because that will cause him to bear more fruits on the earth. So our default choices is always to choose life. I believe that is the fundamental posture of Christianity, where when in our following of Jesus, it is necessary that through our active witnessing, we have to lay down our life or allow our blood to be shed. I think it is fine. But until then, it is actually far more beneficial for us to keep living,
yes,
to be alive, to be a witness and ambassador of Christ on the earth. In other words, we always choose life.
So here in this passage, we see that there's a specific blessing for it. As far as Jesus, I think we'd say that, though the Christian faith does not, like other faiths, like command people to be martyred or gives a higher honor to those who are martyred, this is the Great Tribulation time frame that we're talking about in the book of Revelation. I think it's an expression of the Lord's tenderness to those people who do suffer the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes, it's the Lord assuring them. In fact, this assurance has been consistent since Jesus came the first time when he taught on the mount near the Sea of Galilee. We call that the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to 7, where in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about the 8 Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about them having their mind being heavenly minded towards heaven, even though they may seem to have apparent lack on the earth in terms of the thing they can boast about, but their dependency of heaven caused them to be a blessed person. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who mourn now, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is talking about those who desire to live their godly life, and they will face persecution. So our godly witnesses leads to persecution, and for some people that resulted in premature so-called death. Is not premature in God's timetable and God's timing. It's just from our human eyes why some people die earlier than their natural age. But it's God's perfect timing that God will receive them to themselves. So these people are actually blessed because they are part of the beatitude, the extension of the beatitude expression, where blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So we already have it in the gospel. It's not only in the book of Revelation. And furthermore, in Revelation 6, we saw Jesus emphasizing when the fifth seal was opened, so many people gave up their life because of their faithful witness, and they were persecuted, tormented, and they lose their life on the earth in a temporary sense. And to Jesus was saying, hey, be patient. I'm going to come and avenge all these people. But there are actually going to be more that will be, martyred before the end. And so it is a very sober reality, but it also reflects a victorious church. By that time, the church is so mature, that the knowledge of Jesus is so clear, and the worthiness of Jesus is so central.
That's important.
That through our life of witness and worship, the necessity to pay the price is no longer something that is abnormal at that point of time. And I don't believe that it is, at this moment of time, as we disciple people, we need to be elevating the superiority of martyrdom. Mm-hmm. We need to be elevating the superiority of faithful witness.
Correct.
Right now, every day, in the mundaneness of life, championing that.
Yes.
Beatitude, the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5.
Well said.
But if necessary, if it's required of us in that split moment to lay down our life, because not by our own choice, because the enemy wants to take our life, the oppressor wants to take our life, and the Antichrist spirit wants to take our life, so be it. Let it be well with our soul. And
I have to take a moment and pause and even think about the man who's writing this revelation that he's receiving. John.
Yes.
It was the New Testament, early New Testament church's context was heavy persecution. I mean, John was one of the only apostles that we know of who was not, we have martyrdom accounts of all the apostles but John. And we have several accounts of how John was attempted to be killed and how he survived. And so this man, both his brothers and the apostles, but also many brothers and sisters in the Lord, he probably witnessed and knew of who had suffered this ultimate cost, but he himself did not. But yet the Lord gave him this revelation to communicate to the church.
I think, Blair, you pointed a very important contrast there, that there were earlier apostles claimed, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all the way, even to the point of death, I'm going to follow you, and they chicken out halfway. But those apostles, for example, Peter, ended up giving up their life as faithful witnesses. Where John, who did not, in terms of, in the modern sense, bravado declaration, actually, like he just declared that I'm going to follow you, Jesus, until I die. And yet Jesus said if he were to remain, what is that to you? So the Lord kept him to his good old age. Mm-hmm. And even in the island of Patmos, I'm sure it's difficult. I'm sure that he preferred, after seeing the heavenly vision, to be in heaven.
Coming out of this vision was harder than going
I mean, staying in the island of Patmos as an exile versus the heavenly beauty, I'm sure he wants to be in heaven. But yet, at the same time, he chose to be on earth as the faithful witness to carry on as an elderly apostle, finishing well and finishing strong. That it should be our default choice and posture in terms of reading this passage.
Yes.
So, Blair, if we have come to the one who proclaimed blessedness over his mother, who are we? What's our identity then? Our identity is the blessed one in Christ. Mm-hmm. Whether we are alive on the earth or we require to lay down our life. In other words, it's the blessedness of the posture and the mindset of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, that leads to the mind of Christ description in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then if we are such, then we are people of no fear. We can pray about every situation that is potentially very risky, very dangerous, for the sake of faithful witness of the gospel. There is no mission field, no hardest and darkest place that is too difficult for the messenger of the gospel to penetrate.
Amen.
Recently, the President of the United States gave a speech at the United Nations championing religious freedom and speaking against religious persecution around the world. And he talks about the number, I don't know where he gets number from, that every day two believers in Christ gave up their life, were persecuted, and gave up their life for the sake of their faith. And then we know for a fact that one mission organization that one of my friends lead lost 46 of their missionary staff just in 2019 alone. And many of them are non-Western missionary. So in a Western context, it might not hit news. But right near our hometown in Kansas City here, we have a young man who was a graduate of Oral Roberts University who went to a remote island and tried to reach a unreachable tribe and tried with two attempts and was speared to death for the sake of the gospel. And, you know, some people are still evaluating whether that's wise or he was being bravado or foolish. Only the Lord knows his devotion of his heart. We're not here to judge his motive. But the point is, this man lived apart from the fear that grips so many people and cripples so many people in terms of the way we witness, whether near, in our hometown, within our family, or far away. So, because he's the one who proclaimed blessedness, mm-hmm. we are the blessed one. Because we're blessed one, we're living a blessed life, Lord, in such a way that we're bearing fruit in our living, and we are bearing fruit even we are required one day to lay down life as faithful witness.
Amen.
Let me pray for our audience. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, I just ask you for the grace to embrace this blessedness of being alive in Christ on the earth, or being alive in Christ in the eternal presence of Jesus. Lord, remove the fear of death from our heart. Lord, we ask you by the blood of Jesus Christ, help us to walk out this victorious living against all power of sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We want to thank you for joining us for this Jesus 360 podcast. We invite you to join us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.
You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy